So we pray, Heavenly Father, we knew that so few people realized your first advent, and we now know that this advent is sadly neglected, the actual appearing of our great God and Savior Jehovah Himself coming down to earth, preparing the way for the resurrection and the rapture and the great wedding supper. And many people are believing, though, Lord, that there is a literal true second coming, Christ coming back to earth, and they're looking for a rapture before Him coming back to earth, and they believe they're a part of it. And we know all of these things are written in Your Word, that this is the way it would be. And as we see Scripture fulfilled, Lord, we stand with it, and by Your grace shall not be moved. We thank You for Your Word being revealed and fulfilled in the last hour, that You would once more appear, be manifest in human flesh. That You were committed and fulfilled Your obligation to the Gentiles to do for them what You had done through the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ back there 2,000 years ago. And now knowing that all Scripture has literally been fulfilled, the seals open, and we're in the process of the finality of it all, we know we do not have much time left here upon earth, and that is very good. We just ask You, Lord, to fill our hearts with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit moving to bring forth that love and that knowledge of Him into our lives. And may we manifest in this end time, Lord, a little more of Your grace and a little more of Your Spirit, Lord, and be much more charitable one to another, understanding and walking in the light as You're in the light, having fellowship one with another. The brother Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing us from all sin. We desire that, Lord, for ourselves today, and for all the bride, Lord, that they might walk in that unlimited, marvelous grace and unanimity in the Word that has been given to us. And we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're not going to take too much time this afternoon because we're not going into leadership. And afterward, we'll have fellowship back in the hall. And you care to, have lunch with us, whatever. You know, Christmas and New Year's is usually a one continuous time of eating once you start till the time you stop, which may be long time into the hours of the night. So you have fellowship out there, and that's fine. Now, I'm just going to take a little reading out of John here and look at some things that have been brought to me perhaps as questions over a period of time. And this, of course, has to do with the birth of Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of the Word of God that wherein Isaiah has been fulfilled, that Emmanuel is here upon earth, that the message given in Luke concerning John the Baptist, that he would go before the Lord God of Israel in the power of Elijah of old, and he would make a clear path for the Lord God of Israel, which evidently was to bring all the high places down and all the low places up, which would mean, in our understanding, particularly since we have had such revelation in our day, that is vindicated revelation, that John the Baptist was setting the tenor for this by introducing the Lamb of God, pointing Him out, which was certainly His business to do, foretelling Him from Scripture, from 40th of Isaiah and other Scripture, Isaiah 9 also. So that this one with whom John was associated, because it would actually be take the two of them, would mean that everyone of any repute and knowledge in the Scripture, as though he knew something, would have to put aside every single thought of his that he previously had when the vindicated Word came forth. And all the low places to mean to me would be that all of those who knew nothing and felt that they didn't know, need to know anything, they better come to the place where they're going to know something, to be brought up to that knowledge. So whether you're well-educated, a theologian, been to church many, many years or not, is not the point of what you learned in this last hour. Is can you throw it all out the back door and speak and say what the prophet said with the same understanding. And those who simply were those who said, well, hey, look, I've got Jesus, hallelujah. And the trouble is, this is the word. Everybody fusses about the word. Why can't we just meet on Jesus? I'm sorry, you haven't got any place either. Low places got to come up, high places got to come down. You got to come down where the word is. Remember, that's what John the Baptist did. He brought the people to an understanding. Now, you can see that, of course, in that first chapter, having read it many, many times. The angel speaking concerning John spoke to his father Zacharias and said concerning John that he'd be full of the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb, which is certainly a deviation from what people would consider to be the norm of God, and that God had no right to even do this. Now, you see, you and I have to repent and be baptized with the Holy Ghost. We have to repent and be baptized in water. We do the first two things, and God does the last, which is the third. But here God comes along, and this boy is full of the Holy Ghost in mother's womb, and Brother Branham actually tells us that the fetus was actually just dead. And when Mary spoke, John the Baptist actually came to life. Now, you won't find any record of that. And you won't find, I'm sure, any theologian ever saying anything about that. But if Brother Branham said it, he had a good reason to say it. Because he was directed by the Lord that people would know that this indeed was a birth of a very unusual proportion. That the light from Zacharias having started in the womb of Elizabeth, the wife and mother of John the Baptist, had now died. And so there's actually what you might call a resurrection there. And of course, you know, that would be the tantamount to what we have water baptism as a symbol. Our death coming forth to be renewed in life by the Holy Spirit. So anyway, John the Baptist is full of the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb, and he is supposed to turn the hearts, many of the children of Israel, to turn to the Lord their God. Now, at this particular time then, there is nobody who has truly turned to God. Now, see, this is a thing that people don't want to understand in this hour. Say, well, Brother Bear, would you say then to me that everybody's Nicolaitan and Laodicean, this Laodicean church age, that there isn't anybody that really has the light? And I'd say, you're correct. Now, for the first time, you're correct. Every high head's got to come down, as Paul said. Every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, which knowledge of God he had. And everyone that says, well, I don't know anything. So they hand the book to the man, and he says, you say, read it. So I can't read it. And we prove that here, that people can't read the Bible. They simply can't read the Bible. Or why are they Trinitarians or Jesus only? Tell me. Because they can't read the Bible. They've been taught to read wrong. Yeah. Jack and Jill didn't go on the hill to fetch a pail of water. They went down to find oil. So now, nobody can tell you Jack and Jill can get water. They've got to find oil. Been told a lie for so long, you can't believe the truth. Can't believe in a father who had a son. And he's not God the Son, he's the Son of God. And he's right hand of majesty on high, and he's interceding, he's on his father's throne, and he's alive, and he communicates. And he's not God. So all the Branhamites turn Jesus only. Can't read. Hand the Bible, here, read it. Well, sorry, I can't read the book, see it. Tell me about it. Can't do it. Well, I got Jesus, hallelujah. Have you? That's the question. Now, let's look at it. He talks here and he says, and he shall go before him, that's the Lord God of Israel, the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the father to the children. And then he explains what it is, even the disobedient, the unlearned, to those that don't know how to be. There's two classes. The ones that think they know how don't know how. And the ones that don't know how better know how. So you got a bunch of, well, I don't know how. Want all about it. Now that's today. That's why they need the vindicated prophet. I preach vindication day and night, just like William Branham did. If I preach one sermon that I mention vindication 10 to 15 times, I flunked God, failed him miserably. Because that's what it's all about, is vindication. God is here on the scene to lead the bride out. The pillar of fire is here right now. We're in this church. I don't know where he is. Don't ask me, and I care less. Long as he's here, and I'm a part of it. I was here before he came down. I was born in 1914. And I'm still here since he came down. When he leaves, I expect to go with him. I see no reason why I shouldn't. He said, well, Brother Bill, what about your tremendous morals? Who said morals had anything to do with it? If morals has everything to do with it, then David ain't going to raise. Even the Jews right now are repudiating David. Did you know the Jews today, the holy ones, are repudiating David? They said he was a scuzzball. Do you know that? Read your papers. So John the Baptist comes. These people don't know. They're ignorant. Unlearned. And he's going to turn them to the wisdom of the just. There's only one just one, that's God. In order to make ready a people already prepared for God. Here's God's sheep out there. All wandering around lost. In a fog, in a blizzard, in a haze. The great high ones at Sanhedrin knew all about it. Come on down, boy. Come on down, Zacchaeus. Come down here. Little women, little men out there. Hey, man, I can't read. I've got to have somebody tell me these things. I'm like the Ethiopian eunuch. Say, well, what in the world is he talking about here? This Isaiah. Is he talking about himself or some other man? He said, Philip said, I'll tell you. John the Baptist came on the scene. That's what he did right there. He turned their hearts of faith. Because man believeth in his heart unto righteousness. John the Baptist stood there, and that's what he did. So, all right. I want to read out of John here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, there's an argument going on. It's been going on for centuries, without a doubt. And the argument is, with Genesis, the first chapter, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So they say, which beginning is the one beginning that's previous to the other beginning? Now, that's very interesting. And you'd be surprised what a kick you'll get out of it, what a thrill you get out of it, by just trying to find out. And you can read various authorities, and you can think about it yourself. But what if in the end it doesn't really matter? And you don't know what either one means to begin with. Then you see you got yourself in a problem. So it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. Now, it is very strange, but the fact of the matter is the word beginning in the Hebrew and the Greek is just pretty well the same. In the Hebrew it says, in place of time. In the Greek it says commencement, so that's in place of time also. In the Hebrew it means a principal thing, like first. This is the first thing to look at. This is the most important one. And it means chief. And that's what the Greek says also. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. Actually have the very same meanings. And because we know that God does not have a beginning, because he is without beginning and end, he's uncreated. Except in the sense of the word, God did give birth to himself by becoming God through creative acts. The first one, which was not creative, but a birth to his own son, the light formed and came out of God. Brother Branham said, like a light, and then as a child praying around his father's throne, and then went through the scenes of, and description, the panoramics, as he called it, of creation. And there was that one. So, God does not have a beginning. But the strange thing is that there are many beginnings with God. Though he himself does not have a beginning. In other words, he has plans and purposes. And this here is actually where we see the chiefest plan, the foremost principle, that which is in chief order And in first place is right in this verse here, because this verse goes on to tell you a little bit of what Ephesians tells you, which is from eternity to eternity in a nutshell. Now, in the beginning was the Word. So therefore, we're looking at a principle. We're looking at a commencement, a starting place. We're looking at something which is in the chiefest order in God's mind. So he says here, in the beginning was the Word. Now, we know that the scholars will tell us that the word logos is a word that John used from the Greek, which is far superior to the word menorah, which had that peculiar meaning, something like unto logos, but could never ever come across as logos came across, because you know how they took the menorah and they made it into this candelabra. It's a lamp with eight lamps folks on it. And the Jews use that today. They call it the menorah. And it's supposed to typify and be symbolic. Now, what you're looking at here, however, is not something which is typifying and something which is symbolic when it comes to the Greek. Because you could take the menorah and all it would do is stand there like the logo of a company. And, you know, you might see a saddle with a branding iron representing some Texas shoe company making cowboy shoes. That would be their logo. And you could, of course, from looking at the saddle and the branding iron, you would associate that this would have something to do with horsemen, horsewomen, and Western life and so on. But all it would be as giving you a hint, giving you something to look at. That would be like a menorah, see? But when you really use the word logos, you cannot use it without understanding that it implies that something of what you are talking about is actually there in existence. See, that's the big difference, and that's the thing that most people do not look at. So you're looking at here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's why Brother Branham said, if you try to make that Jesus, you come up with three gods, or you come up with two gods. It wouldn't much matter. You say there's two gods or there's three gods. The reason he said three is because now you've got to come to the place, if you've got a Father and a Son, you've got to put in the Holy Ghost. Well, it's strange to know, and it's true, that the Holy Ghost and the Father, or God, is all one, which is Holy Spirit. And the only reason we say Holy Spirit is in contradistinction to that which is unholy, showing there lies the perfection, the unique perfection of whatever the essence of holiness is. God is that essence. See, Holy Spirit. So, all right. So, in the beginning, then, was the Word. In other words, we're looking at that which was there at a certain set time that God wanted to do something in particular. And this thing which was in particular was that God himself would come into manifestation. That God himself could actually be there. Now, the point is, you will see this in the book of Philippians, where Brother Branham used that second chapter, and to me, he was not as clear as perhaps for a reason, no doubt. But when he used the scripture here, let this mind be in you, the second chapter 5, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. Now he said the word form is on morpha, that which meets the visible eye. In other words, becomes visible. It's right down here, and you'll find it quoted by Schofield, and is taken from Thayer, a great Greek student. A form, or on morpha, the form of by which a person or thing strikes the vision, the external appearance. Now, we know also that Jesus was in the form of God, and we're talking about form. We know positively that he was spirit, the same as his Father was, because according to the book of Hebrews, the first chapter, he was the outrain, or as Brother Branham said, the light formed, when there was nothing to form from except God. And so at that time, when God was giving birth to this son, or this son coming from the Father, I came forth out of my Father, which is absolutely true. He had now was now in the position to be God, which is an object of worship. So it started way back there. And it says in here, he made himself a reputation and took upon himself a form of a servant and made in the likeness of men, found in the fashion of man, humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted this person who is in the form of God, who is spirit, and also he was that one that now has the visible form. And it tells you the visible form was the form of a man. And given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In other words, he's the controller. He's the authority. And he's got, definitely got authority. In fact, the fact of the matter is that since he is the Son of God, he's equal with God. The Jews knew that. They said, you make yourself the Son of God, you're equal with God. They understood the birthright. The firstborn has the birthright. And Brother Branham tells you that after this one here, now the point is, Brother Branham brought out that God had changed his mask. Now God had changed his mask from a pillar of fire to the form of a man by coming down and fully taking over, making Jesus Christ his tabernacle, the human tabernacle. And that was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, which you cannot apply to anybody else. Now, I know certain preachers would like to do that. Now, I'll go along with them if they limit themselves. If they limit themselves. But when you try to, would say that Brother Branham would fill Colossians, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, you would be wrong. Because each prophet is a part of the Word and a measure of the Spirit. But Jesus was all of it. And God indwelt him. 100%. You can't, in a way that nobody else was indwelt. So you're looking at this here now, that God took upon himself in the final analysis of what's said over here in John, in the beginning, way, way, way back there. Now remember, Logos, Word. You're directing people's attention to something by an expression. And it's not merely an expression. It's not hollow. It's an absolute reality that what is said here came forth, and it was God coming forth in a manifestation. And it tells you here exactly how it was done. The manifestation of God was Jesus Christ, the virgin-born one, who could say, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So if the why there, you ask me, then show us the Father. Now, you see, you're trapped into a double bind. You can't say, well, now, I think I can understand this thing, but I just don't go along with it. Well, see, you blew it. Well, I think maybe that he had something else in mind. You just blew it. Did nothing else in mind. Nothing else in mind. He that seen me has seen the Father. Now, Brother Branham gave us the explanation, which, of course, John had already been had written in the Gospel of John here in the 14th chapter. He said, the works testify. Who's doing the works? He said, I don't do the works, and I don't say anything but what he tells me to say. So therefore I'm bound up to hearing, to seeing, saying, and doing. And yet at the same time I can have a conversation with him, and I have a conversation with you. And part of the time my conversation with you is strictly my own conversation. And other times, I'm giving you 100% the Word of God, which is not mine at all. And of course, the acts which I'm performing out of the ordinary, they have nothing to do with me at all. I'm merely an instrument. He that has seen me has seen the Father. So, when you're talking about in the beginning, You're going way back, even beyond the time when there was a speck of stardust, I believe. You're going way, way back before one atom was created, as Brother Branham said, or there was one wind that blew or one little breeze of any kind. There was nothing. And in here, God has within him the ability and the desire. And not just the ability and the desire, but this is the great thing that he has in mind. The great thing and great purpose that he has in mind of what he is going to do. So let's look at it again. In the beginning was this tremendous and marvelous principle, all laid out, unexpressed, a perfect blueprint, perfect wisdom, brought it into knowledge. Perfect omnipotence can now bring it into perfection of performance. That's what you're looking at. That there is no doubt within God, this purpose that he has of him becoming the center, the dynamism, the life, the core, the all in all. And he's going to bring it into full manifestation. Now it says that was with God. In the beginning, it was there. It was there. That's the beginning we're talking about. That this principle, this thing is going to come to pass. And he said, does. Now, it was with God, and if it's Logos, it has to be with God and is God, because no matter what the manifestation is, if it's a brass doorknob. Now listen, let's get this flat, because here's what people don't like about my preaching, and I care less. If it's a brass doorknob or it's a chunk of coal and God was in it, that's God's business. But he'd have to be in it. You just simply cannot say Logos and pass it on by as though, well, a word is a thought expressed and that's all there is to it. When you are talking about this, let us get this flat, as I've said before. God is not a thought. God is a thinker. And so therefore the thinker is involved in manifesting himself. He's involved in a form that can be seen. And at this time there's nothing to see it. No one to see it. No one to worship it. It's all inside. But let us understand this. The great draftsman was not just a draftsman. He was a living spirit. And within him, and this may sound strange, but it's got to be the truth. It was even beyond God to be what he was and what he is and what he will be, because he is what he is. That's why he said, I am what I am. And I am that I am. And you can't change from it. So therefore, when I say genetically, God was already genetically, systematically, perfectly printed to bring this forth. And Nebuchadnezzar found that out. He said, I'll tell you one thing. He said, there's a God in heaven who rules all the armies in heaven and earth, and no one can say no, and no one can say yes. They're just stuck. You know, no one likes to feel they're stuck with God. They've got some great kind of a choice. Well, you have a choice. Go along with God or turn your back on him. It's that simple. Of course, the Sanhedrin thought they were so smart that they, when God got in problem, God called on them. That's what the Jews are still messed up. But you know, it doesn't matter. The Christians are no better. I think they're worse than the Jews, if you come to think of it. So in the beginning, in this particular instance, where we're looking at something which has been formulated, a principle a program, that which is now to go forward, has been put on the drafting board and has come forth by the great draftsman, wherein, not like Michelangelo and great sculptors from the Grecian area could literally put themselves into a piece of marble in the sense that they could show their great ingenuity and their great abilities. God Himself is in this. See, that's where you find the expression coming down, down, down. You find the condescending God. Brother Branham used the term condescending. The coming down God. The other term he used, which is so fantastic, is the becoming God. And here's where you see the start of the becoming God. Here's where you see in the book of Revelation, it's the start of where Brother Branham mentions that Jesus Christ was the beginning of the creation of God. He said that was literally means God creating Himself in the form of human flesh. It means perfectly simply that God is going to have human flesh to get into. That's true. Your human flesh, you know, part of it's created as man's created form, and part of it's neither formed nor created. When it comes to sons of God, it's eternal, because it always was. Now he says here, therefore, in the beginning was the Word, in this particular principal plan, and the Word was with God, nobody else. So therefore, if there is a blueprint for the universe, if there is a destiny for mankind, it's going to be from God. The devil didn't have a hand in it. A lot of people like to think he did, but he didn't. He messed it up. Like Brother Branham said, Eve caused an interruption. I thought he meant it, you know, like a corruption and a explosion or something. Like he started it. But he was right. She caused an interruption. She caused a delay. And then it says that the Word was with God, the Word was God. So you get what I'm talking about. Now notice, the same was in the beginning with God. He is telling you this the second time for the double emphasis, that you may know what we have just said. Now, to give you an idea that we're not overboard on this, although we don't need to read it right at this point. We're going to go to 1 John in the first chapter, and you'll get some understanding. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Logos of light, the Logos of Zoe. So what he's telling you then, that when he shook hands with Jesus, or fell upon his bosom, he understood thoroughly that that was God indwelling that person. Yet there's two persons. One was God and one was the Son of God. Like one person asked Brother Branham when Jesus prayed, if God was in him, who is he praying to? He said, and Brother Branham said, haven't you ever prayed to the Spirit within you? And I rejoiced, because I've been teaching people for years. There's a time when you pray to God direct, and there's a time when you pray to the Spirit within you. And the time you pray to the Spirit within you is when you're difficulty and trials and faced with temptations, and ask Him to strengthen and help you. When it comes to healing Sister Jones or getting Brother so-and-so out of the mess, you pray direct to Almighty God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, what you and I can do, we talk to the God within us, we feed the Christ within us, we rely upon that which within us. When it comes to the sovereignty of God, that which is outside of our pale of jurisdiction, which we've been given by God, you don't pray to the Spirit within you. You ask the Spirit to help you pray within you, to strengthen you and fortify you and me to get those answers from Him. So he said, we handled of the Word of life. And we'll go back to 1 John and see it again. For the life was manifested, see? Now he's talking about Logos. And he's telling you there's got to be a manifestation. See how perfect it all lines up. If you didn't even know the Greek, you got to know what he's talking about. God himself is involved. And his involvement is a way in which he can be seen. Now, no man can see God and live. We know that. No man has seen God at any time, the Bible says. Yet he can manifest himself. And he can manifest himself in signs and wonders. And he can have his picture taken just like that. In other words, that wall of fire in front of him who is known as Jehovah, Elohim, Almighty God, Creator, call him what you want. He's right behind that. There's a manifestation. See, John's telling you. The life was manifested. We've seen it. And bear witness, showing to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Notice that eternal life which was with the Father. Well, they say that must have been Jesus. How do you know? It doesn't say it was. He's talking about the same life he's talking in 1 John back here in the first chapter. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we have, you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. Now, how many Pentecostals in this message could read that? No, they're Jesus only. The Father is the Son. Because they don't understand. I know Brother Branham talked almost like Jesus only many times, but he said he wasn't. So that took care of it. I only had one trouble. I couldn't understand the crossovers. When the Father was in the Son, he left the Son, and this happened and that happened. But I knew there was two of them. Because I knew without the Son, I couldn't get in. I had no mediator. And I knew without the Son, I couldn't keep in because I had no intercessor. And I knew Jesus wasn't his own Father. Brother Rana said he wasn't. So I ask you another question. Can the people read today? You wonder why kids go to university and can't read? So-called people full of the Holy Ghost can't read. Huh? Well, come on, if I got you on a tar spot, I don't feel sorry for you. Smart enough. Today's too late. Today's too late. So I challenge you. Didn't Brother Branham say, I am not oneness? Talking about organization, true? Oh, yeah. Did he not say under the seventh seal, he said under the seven seals, the seven thunders, the greatest revelation of all, is there is one God? And didn't he say the seals corrected the air? So therefore the people who did not listen, who thought they had the truth, were in error. You can see why I'm really loved every place I go. I can lie for anybody. I'm not going to go to hell just to disagree with somebody. The vindicated prophet said, I am neither one. They are both wrong. And it's time to say, where am I wrong? Because that's repentance, changing your mind. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now that's the same thing he's saying over here. Now let's keep reading. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Well, just a minute. It's evidently very true by Brother Branham. He talked about that little panoramic looking over the balustrade of heaven. The light having formed, the sun stood there, and he did the creating. Now, if he's the same yesterday, today, and day, and forever. And nothing about God and the way he does things can ever change. Then you have to recognize Paul saying, God by Christ Jesus created. And you have to recognize that God was in Christ reconciling. You have to recognize it was God in Christ who was redeeming. You You have to recognize that Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And in Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. There, what we're looking at. All things were made by this Logos, this one who is going to now manifest himself, the inscrutable, invisible, omnipotent, omniscient, love God. Now, in him was light. Now, just a minute. Zoe is zoology. Now, we're looking at God with this master prince, in which he himself is not only thoroughly involved as to the maker and producer, but he's going to be the chief actor. Right? Actually, right. He's going to be the chief actor. And in him, that's in this word, this which is going to come forth, there was Zoe, zoology. Well, just a minute. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, that's good. That's all the inanimate. Now we're getting to the place of life, which, and we know that life has factors concerning it. Life takes in food, oxygen, various things. It eliminates, and it's supposed to reproduce. So now we're in the field of zoology. We're going simply from creation. As Brother Branham described it, even part of Kentucky, where the glaciers formed certain areas, which was astounding because evidently it's a lot like the truth of the fact, and it is true, that Enoch made the pyramids, and the pyramids were here after the flood. Huh? Oh, sure. Brother Branham wasn't the only person to say that. That's said by these philosophers, and maybe not just philosophers, they've gone way, way, way back in history. Do you know Brother Branham said they had the atomic bomb before the flood that brought it on? Do you know there's records describing the atomic bomb perfectly? Kind of makes you realize we all aren't so smart, are we? They pay us to listen to the prophet. Now, in here, John saying in him was light. That's Zoe. Now, listen. If he's the living God, how ridiculous would it be for a man inspired by the Holy Ghost to say, yes, and this living God, you know about him? He's got life in him. Oh, God, John. What do you expect? You're not going to be stupid. I don't know that something living has life in it. No, it's telling you something. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Bible tells you distinctly that creation proves there is a God. And there isn't anybody that doesn't know, who really doesn't know, except he's a puffed up, I don't know what, to deny the existence of a creator who brought all this life and all everything out there. And everything that what man has done with what God created or brought on this earth. That's why the Bible said the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Like one preacher I heard say, he quoted another preacher and he said, that's what God thinks of the guy that doesn't think anything him, just calls him a fool and walks on, doesn't spend any time with him. He ain't worth it. Because if anybody can sit around and say there's no God based upon a stupid theory of Darwin who recants it, and they don't have one iota, one minute, significant, or infinitesimal. Because if anybody can sit around and say there's no God based upon a stupid theory of Darwin who recants it, and they don't have one iota, one minute, significant, or infinitesimal proof of mutation. If it was mutating back there, why ain't it doing it now? That's why Joseph Sabin quit being an atheist. He's the guy that, what is he, the editor of the U.S. World News, one of the papers? He said, I woke up suddenly in college. Where were these mutations? Why were they going on? We've got 4,000 years of history. Or better, 6,000, maybe 20,000 according to those guys. Where's one bit of evidence? Now they finally found out we didn't come from apes after all. They finally did find out one thing, didn't they? That Eve was the mother of all living. And they quickly said, well, there could have been lots of Eves. The Bible said she's the mother of all living. Didn't say that Adam was the father of all living, but did it? No. Now, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. In other words, you can have absolutely a complete manifestation of God in nature by life out here, and then he can come in any other form he wants to give you a further revelation of the proof thereof in himself, giving light, but if there is nothing in there to receive it, there is nothing going to happen. Now watch, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of that light. Now, you say, well, I think he's talking about Jesus there. I don't think so. He's talking about up here. He's talking about bearing witness to the great Creator. Now, evidently, Israel no longer knew their Creator. Now, just a minute. Doesn't the Old Testament tell you that Israel did not know its Creator? Come on. Oh, yes, he said, the beast knows its stall, the oxen knows its stall, and knows its master, but my people don't know me. So they didn't know their Creator, did they? Or they didn't know. Oh, no, the kings turned to idolatry. Men love heathen women. Oh, yeah, sexier, more dynamic in their lust. Can you imagine? Solomon lifted his hands and the priest couldn't minister and the fire of God came in the Holy of Holies and that he went into idolatry?
Well, Brother Dale, I'm so different. Yes, I'm a great guy.
You see why I'm sarcastic all the time and bitter? There's too much ignorance and there's too much pride. And there's not enough humility in the face and presence of God for men to be humble. Yet when God manifests himself, 2,000 years ago, the people now today look back, oh, if I'd have been there, oh, yeah, if I'd have been there, I'd have believed. Brother Branham said, you're the very guy that wouldn't have believed. Do you know that in the ministry that Brother Branham had, God in William Branham was greater than the one in Jesus Christ? Because the Bible said, greater works than these shall he do because I go to my Father. And that is sensitized and fulfilled in an individual. There was a man sent from God, his name was John. The same came witness bearing the light, that all men through him might believe. Now, how can this one be Jesus and God at the same time? Well, because it is. God's going to indwell him. So John was sent to bear witness of, now as Brother Branham put it, it's true. John was a light to the light to the light. Huh? He that receives him, whomsoever I send, receiveth me, and he receiveth me, receiveth the Father, send me. So he's a light to the light to the light. Well, doesn't God do everything in threes? Well, certainly. All right. Now, but this was the true light. The light that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, God himself. Come into manifestation. Absolute manifestation. Stood right there before the people. And the world didn't know him. Well, he even came unto his own. And they said, get out of here. You're not our God. Now, we've got God, but you're not our God. That's why I kind of like the term William Branham's God. Because I want to be hooked up with what William Branham was hooked up to. Now, you can have anything you want to get hooked up to. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but the fact of the matter is, look, I don't know anybody else that I'd be interested in. What would I do? When I saw him, that was my answer. He came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the authority. As many as received him, he placed them in the position of authority, which would be bride power. Even to become the sons of God, or be absolutely shown that they were those sons, even to them that believe on his name. Now watch, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But now listen, watch this. It doesn't tell you that they were not born of flesh, because they were born of flesh. It says they weren't born of the will of the flesh. Now here's where you see predestination come right in on the scene, and I was taught years ago that the Gospels do not teach predestination, but that Paul taught it. And that was from a Bible school professor. And I found out later on, hey, this guy's crazy. He couldn't be no more full of the Holy Ghost than nothing. There's no way he could be full of the Holy Ghost. Just couldn't be. Because he told a lie. Here's predestination right here. Born means to issue forth from. Now, you may issue forth from your father spermatically into the womb. See that with an egg. Then you'll issue forth from your mother's womb. But if what your father had didn't issue forth from God, which is a part of the Holy Ghost, which is your soul, a gene, you ain't born of God. Because born means to issue forth from. Just like he said to Jesus, this day have I begotten thee, this day have I started my generations in thee. That's why Brother Brand said, God's the first man, Jesus the second, Adam the third. Come on down. Now watch. And the Word became, not was made, but became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now watch what it says. This God, not his Son now, we're talking about God, actually became flesh, because that's what Logos is all about. The becoming God. God wanted to be. God wanted to do. So he's doing it. Boy, you talk about this doesn't go very well with the Methodists, I can tell you that, and the Pentecostals, because they're a bunch of legalists. They believe that a pig can be turned into a sheep. Well, why don't they do that when the market for sheep goes way up and pigs go down? Well, why don't they? Because it's impossible. Even God can't do it. You say, just a minute, God can. I tell you, God cannot. Brother Branham said different. Because spoken word's original seed. And every seed has got to come forth exactly as God put it. You can hybridize and fool with it. But you watch it go right back. Darwin, they tried that with pigeons. Too bad they don't let the wheat go back to nature. And we get kamut and spelt. And that's all we get, and that's plenty good. I like spelt bread just wonderful. Suits me fine. You don't get allergies and every bit of junk from all the plastic that's in the world. That's what they call it. Now John bear witness of him, cried, saying, this is he of whom I spoke. He that cometh hath preferred before me, and so on, right down all the very line. Now, so what we're looking at here in this scripture, why I'm taking it, is because so many people simply cannot understand the truth of the Godhead and simply understand the actual facts of the whole book, the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, where the introduction was, especially to us who need information, how Adam and Eve came into this earth, and how the Word of God told them how they were to multiply and replenish the earth. And we see how it ends up over here in the book of Revelation, the holy city where the bride is, with the Lamb on the throne, the pillar of fire, which is Elohim himself above the sun, God over his son. And we see all the others, which you call Fruity's virgin. They're out there bringing their glory, and they're outside. And we see the scripture, therefore, is completely fulfilled, that when God breathed into Adam the breath of lives, and he became a living soul, that is exactly when Adam got his soul, which was a portion of the Holy Spirit, which God designated to be that life of himself, God himself. The same life that was in Jesus, the very same one, that first son, that light that formed, would have to come down and become flesh, and then God would indwell him. God taking apart, just like John says here. And God said he'd do it, and God was in his mind to do it. God had the power to do it, and God did do it. And God came right down here. See that picture of the pillar of fire? God right behind that pillar of fire, and through that prophet proved exactly the truth we're talking about. And that is not God the Son in a spirit form. That is God, period. The only time you can call the spirit form is on the grounds the Holy Spirit is doing it. When you talk about the Son, he's up there on the throne of Almighty God, because Brother Branham said he took the book out of the Father's hand, tore the seals off, gave the book to the Father, and climbed his Father's throne. The Father came down here. Revelation 10 and 1. So, all right, we look at this picture here. We're beginning to understand then how that when God said to Jesus, "This day have I begotten thee," that word in the Hebrew, the Greek also, as far as I recall, is "This day have I started my generations in thee." All right, now let's just take a look at that, son, in the book of Hebrews and begin to check something out here. That's in the first chapter. In the first chapter of Hebrews, Paul is speaking. He said, "God who in many parts and many ways spake in times past unto the fathers in the prophets," not by, although it's by, but in the prophets, he was in them, "hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son," he was in the Son certainly, "whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the ages." He also made all the worlds and everything else. "Who being the effulgence," that's the outraying of his glory, "and the express image of his person," or that's the exact expression of his substance. In other words, Jesus is not God, but he's a part of God. And so are you and me if we're born again, if we're seed. We're part of God. Because Brother Branham said, when God breathed in the breath of life, he said, certainly that was just not God breathing into something like a man breathed. He said that was the Holy Ghost. And he became a living soul. Now, just a minute. He was already alive in a spirit form, joined to his wife. So now we got living spirit, and now we got Zoe. Yeah. Oh, come on, let's face it. Because now the soul comes down from the male. That sounds very strange, and I know people hate that, but that's the truth, let's face it. That's the soul of the wise, the soul of the unwise. Also, you've got souls that are animal, perverted. I don't understand it all. But I'm not going to deviate from the word of Almighty God just to please somebody or to please myself. I'm just going to stick with it. So it says right here that this one was actually a part of God, the expression of his person, his very substance, of holding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down the right hand of majesty on high. Now, what did Brother Branham say about this one we're talking about? He said, we came exactly as he did, but we bypassed our spirit body, or word body, or theophany, all those three terms you can use, and they were used. I prefer word or spirit body, because the word theophany comes from two words, theophanera. Theo is God, and phanero means to show forth. And it's true in a limited sense that you and I are theophanies on the grounds of that modicum of the Holy Spirit that's in our soul, that is our soul. But Brother Branham said, we bypass that word body, and we're put down in this body of flesh to be tested. But through the baptism with the Holy Ghost,
makes it commensurate as though we had not bypassed it. Now, you may think that's very strange on the grounds we've been sinning, but Brother Branham told us, little bride, you didn't even do it. You're the perfect, sinless, righteous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is not a cover-up. This is, thus saith the Lord, the truth from Almighty God. So what we're looking at here, that we found over here in John, is that God started this great plan to have a family. And this is where the Trinitarians and the oneness are all haywire. They can't understand that Jesus was the only begotten Son, the one of a kind, never to be reproduced, and He is joint heir with His Father because He's the firstborn, and He has the inheritance rights of His Father. And He said, Father, restore to me the glory I had before in the world with you before, back in the beginning. And He said, Son, I'll not only restore it, I'm going to give you more than that. Now, if according to truth, I'm not saying this is truth. If it's scripture, it is truth. But if you can take the birthright of the first son all the way to what I've just said, you will find here positively that God did something to Jesus and for Jesus that Pharaoh did for Joseph. Only in the throne am I greater. You've got it all the rest, son. Go hop to it. And that's the truth, because over the throne where the Lamb is the pillar of fire, Elohim Himself. And God puts everything under the feet of Jesus except God Himself. Amen? That's 100% the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And He's doing it right now. So you see what we're looking at here. We are looking at the fact of this God associating Himself, this living God, a life that you and I cannot fathom or even understand. Until we, oh my, it's going to take a long time, I believe, for us to even begin to just really breathe that we're knowing something about it. We're involved with all this life around here, like the living plants and things, you know, and part of nature, animals, because we are mammals, we're animals, you know. It's been proven by cellular therapy. Animal cell go right to your parathyroid, if that's what you need. Check the parathyroid cell. Nian's found that a woman, they did cut her parathyroids up and she was convulsing to death. And he just, brilliant science, went home and sliced up a thyroid of a young, killed a little calf. Sliced up the thyroid and put in the centrifuge and gave her injections. She stopped kicking and convulsing right now. A pair of little cells went right here and started forming a parathyroid. Doctor, oh, can't be done. It has been done. It is being done. And why do you think they're working on fetuses now? Oh, come on. Abortion is going to be very popular. Scientific. Dr. Kuno tells me flat. He said, we will never use human fetus. They're full of disease and germs. I will take a sheep any day. I've had cellular therapy. Sure. People tell you it doesn't work. Big mouth Pentecostal, that's all they are. Nothing up here. Nothing down here either. I'm not bitter, just telling you flat. I've read their books. I know what they sell Pentecostal years and years. Talk in tongues, that's it. Whoopee, you got her. Prove it. Devils can talk in tongues. You're a pretty good linguist. So here's what you're looking at. This great plan that God had. And we're talking about Christmas. That great one back there, the only begotten Son, entitled to the birthright. He said, this day have I begotten my generations in you. And remember how we took, who is this Melchizedek? Started right up here with Elohim. From Elohim, here comes down Jesus. Now, we were in Him before the foundation of the world. And Brother Branham said we were in God. That's exactly right. Now, watch what God is doing. God has associated Himself to human nature and to mankind to such an extent, He calls the bride a body, right? And He said, Paul said, if we're all an eye, where were the hearing? If we're all an ear, where were the seeing? And if we're all something else, where would the talking be? So therefore, as we look at what we are looking at, now you follow me, and this is Lee Dale talking. And I'm talking from having been taught the same as you're taught by a prophet who said God is in continuity and it's in nature. And God takes us right here, and He said, I myself am going to have a body. Jesus said, lo, a body hast thou prepared for me. And we know that God positively came down stood before Mary, the Holy Ghost did, which is God, created the egg and the sperm, and the life of that son that was Michael, that did all of these things over here, came down, don't ask me how, that's God's business, he did it. Went right in there and came forth as a human being. Now what were we, as sons of God and morning stars, shouting and dancing and clapping our hands? We don't know a thing about it. We forgot it all. You say, Brother Dave, you sure believe in pre-existence? Sure do. And I don't believe in transmigration, and I don't believe in reincarnation. I believe we get one shot, that's it. Just like Jesus. We bypassed it. He didn't. He kept his memory. That's one reason, absolutely, why Jesus wouldn't fall into a trap. When Brother Branham had that vision, he came back, he said, I'd be the same again. You and I can't hope for that. We get to the resurrection and say, hey, I'll never be the same. Oh, you're supposed to start to grow. We've been stunted down here. We've been poisoned. Man alive, all you hear is the reverberation in our heart and mind of the junk and truck of the devil. And the smoke and sulfur of hell. We haven't had a chance to really get to the heavenly breezes, but we're going to get there. We're doing a little nicety by feeding the Christ within us and growing in grace. And I praise God for that. I certainly do. And the knowledge which he's giving us day by day, I love it. But I'll tell you, if this is all we have, you talk about miserable. Hey, yay, yay, miserable. No, I'm looking for the resurrection, same as you are. We're not going to be miserable. We're getting on to the real thing. So, all right, we see here God starting out, as he said, with who is this Melchizedek? Come on right down here. And so this life of God put in here, I've started my generations in you. And it's the same life coming down. And then was transferred into Adam and Eve. And Eve, in her presence, was the tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, Eve should have borne Christ, Brother Branham said. But she didn't, because the serpent beguiled her concerning life. He said, look, God said you die. If you have God life, you can't die. Where is death in this thing? And he beguiled her. He seduced her. He got her to a place of consent, and so she got pregnant by him, a complete mess. He started the interruption. Now, children should not have started that way. The first, Brother Branham categorically said, children should not have come originally through sex. And that's right. He said, Adam should have spoken word to the womb of Eve. Now, let's go to Scripture. And Brother Branham, give me a Scripture. And Brother Branham spoken words, original seed said, then from a little, now this is, I'll read part of this, but I'm going to get you to the gist of what I want you to get to. Then from a little group of the true seed of the word, little group of the true seed of the word, God will present Christ, a beloved bride, a virgin of his word, and through them and by them will be fulfilled all that has been promised from his word in the virgin, who knows no man-made creeds or dogmas, the word of promise in himself, like it was in Mary, God himself made manifest. Huh? He will act himself by his own word of promise, so to fulfill all that was written of him. As he did when he came from the virgin womb, type of the spirit womb now, so will the virgin now accepting, A-C-C-P-T-I-N-G, his word, be it unto me as thou hast said, though it was said by an angel while it was yet the written word, Isaiah 9:16. Now you see, in the mind of God and in God's word, which Brother Branham categorically said, his ministry would reveal to us things which were not known from before the foundation of the world. And he categorically tells us, which you cannot find in Scripture, but you can find it in manifestation, as the seed was sown must bring forth exactly what was sown. And if what comes forth as manifested as what was sown, and in your mind differs entirely from what was sown, you're wrong! Because seed can only bring forth and manifest what's in the seed. Right? Now we find the only one reigning and ruling is Christ. Now, the angel came to Mary. Right? And the angel gave her the word of God. He spoke that word to her womb. And now, let's get the point. Adam, as a man, could not have done that. But though he was a man, he would have done it. Why? Because even though an angel brought the word to Mary, it didn't matter if a team of elephants brought it on a gold platter. And I'm being foolish for the very sake of getting it across. And it wouldn't matter if it was a circus of clowns that brought it, although they wouldn't. It was the Word of God that did it. Therefore, Adam was in a position to stay with the Word and use that Word and would have brought forth Christ. And then, like Mary and Joseph, the sex act would have continued bringing the children on. Because that's exactly what happened to Mary and Joseph. So you can see William Branham has given us 100% the truth, and I'm trying to trace this down and show you so you don't make any mistake and understand the sovereignty of God and understand foreknowledge and election and predestination. It is out of our hands entirely. It is in the hands of God. Now, let me go further. God being God, and the Bible speaks of He's got eyes, He's got ears, He's got a mouth. He talks of a stomach. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't eat your food. He can eat. he would look like a man in the sense that the description is there all the way through to that perfection. Now, since this is so, and you and I have certain parts of our body that is our body, but has a function in a manner which no other part of your body functions, though it's all interrelated. Okay? You have isles of Langerhans that produce what? Insulin, right? Tell me, does the heart produce it? Nope. Does the liver produce it? Nope. The thyroid produce it? Nope. Oh, just a minute though. It's got an effect on it. They're all synergistic. They're all perfectly right. But they all perfectly have the place. Now then, well, I see my picture. I see the great genetic God. And we're talking of genetics now, heredity, genes, influences, and environmental concepts all go together. It's all in there. So I see Him now. Get my point. In Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Therefore, everything that was a part of God in this Zoe, this body part of Him, that left this other to its own complete function and complete sovereignty, this came down through Jesus and manifests completely what we have and know and will have in this Zoe life, which is glorified by God and is a part of God being from Him and His great plan and Him associating with us. You get to what I'm trying to tell you about the Godhead bodily? To me, when I see Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, there was not one part of Him that could take over the sovereignty of God. No way, shape, or form. And when I see that blessed body come forth, and I hear Him called by His Father's name. His Father's name is Jesus, and He's Jesus. When I see Him hanging on the cross, I know His Father has left Him because He left Him in Gethsemane. Brother Branham told us just when He left Him, and He did. And when I see that Jesus come back as a pillar of fire, I know that that is the Father. I know that's the one that Paul met on the road to Damascus. He did not meet the Lamb. When that pillar of fire came down, that is not Lamb. You go to Tennessee and you ask a certain name, a man by the name initials of D.R. And if you can't figure it out, you don't even know who he is. Ask him who came down. He'll say the Lamb. The Lamb didn't come down. So I ask you a question. Who are you listening to? William Branham or a bunch of guys running around? Or getting a bunch of tapes from people that don't even know what they're talking about? Can't even quote the prophet's dream. Lamb didn't come down. No, the Lamb's on the Father's throne. He can't come down. He's making intercession for me especially. There's no way He can come down. I won't let Him come down. I need Him. Maybe you don't. That's just a joke, of course. A little sarcastic. It's meant to be. I need an intercessor. I'm glad I've got one. I need a high priest. One day he's going to lead you and me in the millennium into temple worship. Yeah. Yes. He's going to do it. One day the spirit that veiled behind that pillar of fire will become incarnate to us. We'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That will be the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David. King of Kings, the altogether lovely, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon. Elohim, Jehovah, mighty God. Yeah. I'd ask you, who are these people listening to? William Branham? Or a bunch of Pentecostals, Baptist, Methodists? I want to know. Because I'm on the spot. Now, if you don't know what I'm saying, you heard me preach two gods tonight. The fact of the matter is, I'm preaching. How many people here really believe you're born again? Come on, let me see your hands up. Really believe, then you really believe you've got a part of God in you, right?
Right.
Then you're God. How many gods have I got tonight? Come on, raise your hand. Come on, don't be gutless. I raise my hand. You can't raise yours? See, you're scared. Haven't got the guts. Then I'm God. Because Jesus is the part of God. So now there's 30 gods here. And I'm testing your minds tonight. I'm testing your hearts tonight. And I'm not fooling because I'm going to meet you down the road, every single one of you. I am not preaching two gods. I'm not preaching 4,000 gods. I'm preaching one God who had one great son. And by the grace of God, he's got literally millions more out there. And he's placed every single one wise and foolish according to what he wanted to make them, an eye or an ear or a nose or a hand or a foot or a finger or an eyebrow or an eyelash. And he's given them all gifts, and they don't all speak with tongues and have 9 supernatural gifts, because some have a gift of forgiving and being cheerful. Yeah. Want me to read it to you? Oh, I'm glad you do. Somebody didn't nod his head, but... Let me read it here. For I say, through the grace given unto me, every man that's among you, not think himself more highly ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. Each one of us got a perfect measure of faith. We couldn't receive the word. For as we have many members in one body, all members not the same office, so being many are one body in Christ. And what did Brother Branham say? God bore into Christ all that was in God. Oh, hold it. Then there's no God. Then Christ poured everything in the church. Now there's no Christ. Nah. That can't be what he's saying. Now God stepped into Christ. Christ gave us the Holy Ghost minutely. Well, he had his without measure and still had. Now what? Having then gifts differing according to the grace of goodness, whether to prophecy, but to prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth in exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Irenaeus said there's hundreds of gifts in the body of Christ. Yeah. So you want one gift to talk in tongues? Everybody going to talk in tongues? Everybody going to prophet? Everybody, come on, come on. How would you like to have a gift of being forgiving with mercy? You know, I'd trade everything I've ever said in tongues or ever prophesied, and God knows I prophesied very correctly, and I got proof. And I've had visions come to pass. I don't claim they're God. I just claimed it. What anybody else would claim, I believe it was. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I wish I had that little ministry of forgiving with cheerfulness. Well, I'll forgive you this time. Bless God. Don't ever do it again, or I'll smack you in the chops. That's me. Thanks for the amen, bud, because that's the way it is. That's the way it shouldn't be. You can tell I ain't got that ministry. Oh, I don't hold grudges too much. I get disgusted by it. There's not much point holding grudges. So look at what we're looking at here, then I want to show you. This is my Christmas message to you. And I preached it different ways at different times. We are the family of God. Now we are celebrating the physical earthly birth when that one came issuing forth from the Virgin Mary's womb. And he is a spoken, true word child of God that Adam could have brought forth with Eve, because no man can speak it. It takes God to do it. Even if a mule spoke it, or a man with no brains just opened his mouth like the village idiot, God doesn't put his words in idiots' mouths. He tells you that. You just comfort them. But I'm being extreme. You get the point. As Brother Branham said, even though an angel brought it, it was God's word of his promise that must be fulfilled in that virgin. And it was. See, he blew it. The next virgin blew it. This virgin will not blow it. There's a virgin and it's going to bring forth Jesus in flesh. Which means that spirit that's amongst us has sealed us all in with his own seal. Cannot think any other thoughts but his. Clothing ourselves, thinking his thoughts, rejecting the other thoughts. Getting ready and being caught up to the marriage supper. When that spirit that's doing all this, God himself bringing everything under the feet of Jesus, becomes incarnate to us, the great wedding supper's on. So there you are. I've over-preached myself, but I wanted to show you this to let you know Brother Branham was correct. And he said, look, they would have come to sex. Absolutely, they had to, their animal. But the first one should have been the spoken word seed. And Adam could have done it, but they let the serpent get in. And she got to the tree of the knowledge of evil. Let me tell you, now I'm saying this with very, very carefulness, so be careful how you hear me. This book here is a tree of life. And at the same time, it's the tree of knowledge of good and evil, depending on who handles it. Because this same book of life will kill you if you deny one word or add a word to it. He blew it. Maybe Adam was too busy fooling with the garden. Too busy thinking of the great day he was going to, you know, he'd already named the animals. Hey, this was great. Now, when are we going to name the birds? Then we get around to naming the serpents, the creepy crawlies, and the fish. Here'd be one man going to name about, what, 50 million species? How many species are there? Anybody got a clue? They say literally hundreds a day are disappearing. I mean, I'm not lying. I've been told that. I read the articles. I thought maybe one or two, and I hear you get just en masse, they're going out. And now they found for the first time they found in a certain forest a species of trees they didn't know, a prehistoric species of trees. What 35 or 6 in a little clump somewhere. I don't remember all the figures. I don't care. I just remember the goody part of it. What I'm trying to tell you is that hey, way back. Species by the millions. Was Adam too busy thinking about those things? Was he too busy saying tree move over here and fruit over here? I don't know. I only know the serpent came in and seduced Eve. And you know, I also know Brother Branham had a vision. And you know that vision, what happened? He saw Miss Trinity taken over by the devil, and he saw Miss Oneness taken over by the devil. Now then tell me, is Miss Trinity and Miss Oneness part of the bride? Come on now, be my guest. Huh? Come on, be my guest. How come the Branhamites have gone oneness? The Jesus-only bunch don't admit an error. I've only found two Jesus-only preachers admitted to error. And I said to one old guy that grabbed me, I like the old boy, he's a nice old guy. I said, Gene, you're oneness. How in the world did you catch on what Brother Branham said about the Father not being the Son and vice versa, and this being the Son of God, not the Son, not God the Son, and you can see that God in the beginning had this Son? He said, well, the prophet said so, and I got to believe what he said. Well, I said, that's got it. That's God. Corrected the ear. Now that's my stand on Christmas story. I'm a part, and you're a part. And as we respect and honor his birth and talk about it, I want to tell you something. He respects and honors ours too, because in the midst of the church one day, as we all sing praise unto God, he's going to recognize us all. Because we are brethren, because we all have one Father. And there might be
10 million at least of us there. And there aren't 10 million gods. Right? There's only one Father, right? There's only one begotten Son, right? And there's a bunch of wise virgins, right? There's a bunch of foolish virgins, right? And there are positions in His body which we don't know of this time, even this position right now. That's right exactly, isn't it? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I'm going to tell you something. A wife is not the husband. The wife is not the head. And I got news for you. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. So I counted woman, man, Christ, God. I like to know how people figure these things out. Well, Lord bless you. I took your time. You took my time. I trust it was God's time. And we had a message on the Great One who was born. And He came in His own season, just like we came in ours. God has manifested to a bride and through a bride at this hour. That's right. So there we are. Let's rise and read today. You got fellowship in the hall and all the goodies if we can find some for you. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for the time we have together, knowing that so many things are said that people misunderstand. I'm not saying we understand perfectly, but we sure do try, Lord, by Your grace and by the glory, for the glory of God, that we might say the things that are true and not things which are merely machinations of men's minds or some conjecture, something else that had been brought in there, which is not Your word, Lord, but Your word rather, as even as You became, which You are the becoming God, the becoming word also, which we are a part of, and more into the likeness and away from the negative and into the positive. And by Your grace, Lord, we are standing here in this last hour, and we have seen and will continue to see very shortly, greater things even coming to pass in this world that will let us know that the door is already open toward heaven, and it's open to such an extent that any time at all, you know, as we count time, Lord, try to count it through Your eyes, time's very going rapidly, that there'll be an upward pull, a sweep come over the bride, and the resurrected saints, and we with them changed, rise to meet that blessed one, Christ, the head of the church. He's in us because we are giving forth the word of life. Even as Brother Branham said, even though it was an angel that brought it, it was that written word. And Lord, even though we talk and we bear witness and we know what we are, we're sons that had somehow through the, well, by the fall, have not manifested the perfections that will be coming down the road, but it manifested to a degree that which You have desired, Lord, that we're all a part of it. And we appreciate it so much. Now, Father, we pray that even as Brother Branham said, take this message for Your healing, that there be any sick amongst us, Lord, that they would be healed of their infirmities, give them help at this particular time. Any particular need, Lord, we pray that You'll bless and help that need, Father, especially in whatever relationship families are in, if they need special benefits and help. We pray You'll give it and above all, soften every single heart to receive the Word of God. Then, Lord, make it like iron to stand with that Word and behind that Word so that nothing can touch us, Lord, so that we will be ready for that moment which we know is not far off. Bless Your people, O God, as what's been prayed already, give journey mercies, those that need journey mercies, those that need help, Lord, and help like so many people phone and need help. We think of our sister Joan McCollum down there, Lord, the widow by herself now for whatever number of years, a couple of years by now, with that heart problem. We pray that You certainly will touch her as a little Christmas bonus, little gift, Lord. May she be perfectly well, Father God, and rejoice in the strength that You give her. And whether Myrtle Raper's living, I don't know, Lord. We know she was nigh unto death. If she's living, Lord, we pray You'll comfort her in her last hours, knowing she's very old. But perhaps there could be some healing for her. I don't know, Lord. We should pray for her and others around that need Your care. We ask You, O God, that You really touch them. Think of John McCrae getting better up there, but needing help. Betty having an accident, Lord, different ones. We just ask You, Lord, to help them. Brother Gunther Bereed, different people, Lord, around. We just pray that You help them, even as our own people here want help. We're praying together, Father, for each other, and believing now that the healing virtue of Jesus Christ helps each one for the glory of Almighty God, for Your further service, to help each other in love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name.